Welcome back. Ya sé, ya la cagamos.
Again. That would be my fault. Sorry, my bad.
No, lo que pasa es de que sí, literal, sí se nos atravesó un burro muy gigante en el camino y pues ya no pudimos. Pero share with everybody, Judy, the great news.
So, I got my dream car. Another thing off my, ¿cómo se llama? My vision board. So that's why we couldn't record, because we have been looking for a car for over maybe like a month. Bueno, desde que se accidentó Luis, because obviously we need another vehicle. And we finally found my new car.
So basically it's my fault because I crashed the car and that led to a chain of events.
Which was kind of a ¿cómo se dice? A blessing in disguise, maybe?
Well, for you, because you got a new car. Do you want to share what kind of car you got?
So I got a Jeep Wrangler. And I really wanted a white one because, no sé, something about the white. I feel like me and Luis had this conversation already. We've always wanted white cars, pero nunca se nos ha dado un carro blanco. We've always had like gray, silver, literally all the other cars except the white car. So after looking and looking and going to several dealerships, which by the way, oh my God, it's so expensive. Like, it's stupid expensive. And to be honest, I was already ready to throw in the towel and be like, you know what? I'm going to try again later this year. It's okay. If it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. You know, things happen for a reason. I'll be fine. But we finally found one. We found it on Craigslist, which, by the way, that's something that my dad always does, is he finds, like, the best cars on Craigslist. He has, like, a thing, no? Like, se pone a buscar y encuentra.
Sí, tiene toda la paciencia del mundo.
So, shout out my dad for helping me with this, obviously. I think, you know, our dad has just been very... He's just the fucking most amazing person ever, and he always... You know, allows us to, ¿cómo se dice? Cumplir nuestras metas and sueños. So shout out my dad. But yeah, I'm so excited. We have it, and I already told Luis, I'm like, if you drive it, because now we are under each other's insurance policy, so we can all drive our cars.
Can we talk about that though? Because I'm sure we're not the only ones in the situation where we probably live at home. You probably live at home with your parents, or you live at home with other family members. Pero I'm just going to speak of, obviously, de mi experiencia, de nuestra experiencia, but I'm sure it is very similar to many people out there. We think that each one of us should have our own policy, and that's why we're in the mess. Well, I don't know if it's a mess or not, but in the dilemma that we are in right now, where we don't know if my dad's car is going to get fixed or not. Entonces, lo que hicimos fue, después del putazo, después del susto, was, let's just quote, a ver en cuánto sale. And this is by no means commercial or sponsored, but I have Geico. And I have the highest coverage on my vehicle, which Fernando and I drive. And then I added Judith and my dad. And then I added the Mini Cooper. And then I added the Jeep Wrangler. And it turns out we're literally paying about the same, probably about a $40, $50 difference more, you guys. Mm-hmm. And it's more coverage on all vehicles. And now we don't have to worry about, like, saca el carro porque no puedes manejar el mío. Or, you know, we can drive whatever, whosever car is here on the weekends. Y si nos accidentamos, knock on wood, ojalá y no. Pero pues at least we're now all covered under all of the vehicles y nos ahorramos un chingo de dinero in the sense of we now don't know whether this car is going to get covered or not. So just, miren, no se vayan con Adriana's insurance. No se vayan con a local, you know, broker. Just call these companies direct and figure out and get a quote. And probably you're going to be paying about the same. Maybe a little bit more, but the coverage is so much better and the attention, the customer service attention is way, way better.
So now in me, so Luis and I are now able to go over the curbs in the Jeep because it is such a fun car. Honestly, like I feel like a Mexican Barbie in that car. My friend was like, you're a Barbie.
More like a Mexican Lele doll, but yes.
But honestly, my 8-year-old, you know, self was screaming when I got it. I was like, there's no way. But like our parents say, what is meant for you is meant for you. And for some of you, this may not be even like the biggest deal. But I think that for myself, it's honestly like so cool to be able to like slowly achieve the things that you want, even if it's like a simple, you know, car, a trip or something. So I'm excited.
So obviously we've been doing a lot of healing out here, a lot of inner child healing. And I think one thing that you mentioned, Judy, that I think is super important that I've never done, and I don't think I've done it. I don't know why I haven't done it. Nomás no me llama la atención. But your vision board, you've been marking a lot of things off of your vision board, and that is great. So I think for you, you have to have it visually in front of you to make it happen. For me, I believe in putting it out in the universe. So when I get up in the morning, I basically say, gracias, universo, for allowing me to wake up con este pinche greñero y la baba dripping down my fucking mouth. Pero también le dejo saber al universo, like, this is what I want to accomplish. This is what I want. And I feel like for me, that has worked. So whatever, however way you make things happen and you bring them into existence, I think that that's great. And I think it's amazing to point out the fact that you've put so many things on that vision board that you've been able to mark off.
And honestly, I was listening to a podcast the other day and I was telling Luis.
Ours? Because I don't think you listen to ours.
I do. Pero me puse a buscar entre, like, you know, Latino podcast. I found a podcast. I came across it. It's called, I think it's Latina Poderosa or Powerful something podcast. Anyways, this girl literally had me bawling in my cubicle, like straight bawling. I sent the episode to Luis and I was like, wait, estoy literal like ugly crying, like con sentimiento, like hard.
Look for it.
And so basically the episode was about the girl who, you know, I'm sure you have all heard this, ¿cómo se llama? This saying of like, what would you tell your 8-year-old self or your young self or whatever, right? And during this time that I was listening to the episode, I thought, oh my God, well, I've been doing a lot of things right for myself. The power of a vision board is just fucking great. Like, I've never done one in my life, and I thought, oh my God, this is so freaking amazing. Like, it works because yes, you see it in front of you of like wherever you wake up in the morning or whatever, and you wake up motivated to accomplish things, right? So basically this girl has an episode where she says, like, you know, what would she tell her 8-year-old self? And then she has her listeners also go ahead and give a little like snippet of what they would. It's called Unbreakable Latina Podcast.
Shout out to Unbreakable Latina Podcast.
Yes, you made me cry. But on listening to all the little snippets of people, oh my God, I just started to cry because I thought there was one in a specific where I think the girl, she was saying, like, you know, I thank you for all the opportunities, like with the parents and, you know, everything. And I thought, ugh, like what I would tell my 8-year-old self is like, you know, great things are coming. Don't feel like you're not part of the circle. Don't feel like you're not, like you don't belong. Because back then, pues obviamente, like I went to school with a lot of little white girls, especially my job right now. Like I could never be a part of that experience that I'm allowing, you know, new youth have. Because, you know, in the moment, nunca, no, like you're 8 or 9 or whatever, you're young, no sabes, no entiendes why your parents are doing the things that they're doing. So I was like, oh my God, I literally was crying. Even my friend, my coworker, was like, are you crying? And I was like, no, I'm not. But it was such a beautiful episode. And I think that, like, going back to the whole vision board and going back to putting things in the universe, it's so important because it's like you, obviously, us healing our inner child, but also putting things in the universe that we are obviously deserving of because they're happening to us. So it's just, it was such a beautiful episode. And I was just like, oh my God, like this is totally like resembling with what's going on in my life right now. Again, to some, it's like, pues okay, es un carro. Pero para mí, it was like I was healing my inner child because, so it's a story of my little self. I'm a huge Barbie fan, and I've always to this day have wanted a Barbie dream house, and I've always wanted like the Jeep Barbie, like the everything Barbie, right? And I remember one Christmas I asked for it.
The Barbie Dream House comes fully assembled, dolls and batteries not included.
And obviously I didn't get it.
Like, you know, that farmhouse.
But I specifically also remember one Christmas or one something, I wanted the Barbie Jeep so bad because I was like, if I'm not going to get the house, then at least I can get the Jeep. And Luis gifted me a fucking PT Cruiser. And it wasn't even like Barbie branded. It was like, I don't even know what the fuck what brand it was. But basically, it was a PT Cruiser. The Barbies obviously didn't even fit in the fucking PT Cruiser because it wasn't even for Barbie. And I just remember being like, oh, fuck, well, this sucks. But
you ungrateful bitch.
But again, going back to like you're 8, you're 9, no entiendes por qué, and you're just kind of like, well, pues yeah, you know, like it's all right. And you fucking throw a tantrum or whatever it is because you don't understand. But it's, I don't know, I just told Luis, I'm like, bro, like it brought me back to the time that I wanted the fucking Jeep for the Barbies and you got me a PT Cruiser. And I was like, wait, las Barbies need fucking, they don't even fit in the fucking PT Cruiser. But yeah, it was a moment. And
so yeah. Since our last recording, I feel like we've been doing a lot of healing, inner child healing, because also it was my nephew's birthday. When was it? This past weekend?
It was on Saturday.
And I really didn't want to go to that because, one, like, he is in an age right now where solamente sus pinches padres lo soportan. And sometimes I don't feel like they even soportarlo. He is like in a rebellious teen. I'm too cool for school. Like the other day I heard his mom say, don't call me Richie. My name is Richard. Like, what the fuck?
I mean, yeah, we all go through that.
So space. I could never. And honestly, I can't stand him. I can't stand kids and I can't stand him right now. So
fucking brutal. we love you.
Somewhere down there, deep in the orificios de mi corazón, there is love for you, Richie. But, I mean, listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat it because I can't. I just can't. I don't like kids.
Yeah, Lisa's never liked
kids. And I especially don't like kids that speak all mamón. And the moment that, like, Richie started trying to be like, I was like, no. Así no se habla. So, obviously, speak to me in your regular voice. Don't make a fucking chillón noise voice. But anyway, so I've been kind of annoyed by him and I'm like, I don't want to go. I don't feel like going. And I wasn't going to go. I was going to go to the Long Beach Pride or Proud event. And then obviously, si tengo un pinche corazón.
Well, no, actually his friends ditched him. And
no, they didn't. Shut the fuck up. So
they didn't want to pick him up.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go, even though he's not going to acknowledge me. He's just whatever. Like, I'm just going to go.
It's not that he doesn't acknowledge us. It's just he's in his own little bubble.
And exactly. He's not acknowledging.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So I just can't handle that because whenever I have kids, they're not going to be like that. Porque, mira, cortitos. No, no es cierto. Porque van a ser todos pinches traumados.
I believe it. You should see his dogs. His dogs are afraid of Luis. Like, and they're fucking dogs.
No. So then I was like, okay, voy a ir because, you know, yes, I've never missed a birthday of his and I'm going to go. And then when he was little, I was the one decorating all his birthday and coming up with, like, ideas and everything for it. So,
which, by the way, if you don't already know this, but this family is very temática. Like, we have themes for birthdays for every single fucking thing. And I do believe that this is all Luis's thing and my mom, porque mi mamá era bien pinche fiestera. But also, Luis would do my theme birthday since, like, literally, like, birth, I feel. So that's probably why I'm always like, okay, this year, like, I'm already planning my 30th birthday and I'm not even turning 30 with, like, in another year. So we're very fucking scandalous over here.
So I show up, and of course, we're at the park, and...
Which, by the way, it was Irvine Park, another healing park. I have never been to Irvine Park, ever in my life. Luis says that I went when I was little, but obviously, who the fuck's gonna remember that? And I've always had my friends say, like, let's go to Irvine, let's do this. Tienen que los boats y las bicicletas y no sé qué pedo, and they have a zoo, whatever. And I never had the opportunity to go because my parents never took us, I guess.
They took us. They just didn't take you because you were an accident.
Fuck you. But also, another thing, we didn't grow up with a huge family. So that whole parque ambiente thing, que vas a hacer carne asada con tus primos y toda la chingada, we didn't have that. So we're fucking traumados to the max. Yes. Like, we literally don't know what going to a park is, because let me tell you that the little bit that we were there, me and Luis were already kind of like giving each other the eye of like, bitch, I'm fucking anxious. Like, I have anxiety. This fucking park is giving me anxiety.
Because yes.
We don't know how to fucking act.
It was just, we don't. And that is the sad truth. We don't know how to act at the park. To me, it was just like a waste of time. It was just horrible. There was no seating. There was like, because we don't know how to be at the fucking park. And then, so my brother bought my nephew. My brother was barbecuing hamburguesas, hot dogs, and he was trying to be the best. And him and his wife, honestly, kudos to them, because they were literally trying to be the best hosts.
But
at
also
the park.
Shout out my brother's wife. Si se ponen las pilas.
Si.
Like, she's very like, I think, you know, I could say that she got it from us, because again, we're very fucking like, do this, do that. Like, we have a fucking system over here. And she quickly adapted. So she, like, she's always the best. She's always like hands on with us. She's always like catering to us. She's always catering to my parents. And like, she's just
yeah,
really
like
fucking
that
cool.
that whole part was fine. Like, they were catering. They had all sorts of different things, papitas, jugo, like, they had everything. Mm-hmm. It's just us. We're not used to that. We don't know how to fucking act.
We don't know how to eat a fucking burger.
At the park. With the fucking wind flying, the chips flying.
Oh,
like,
my
it
God.
Was. It was annoying AF.
It
was annoying as fuck.
It was
very fucking annoying.
It was.
So,
I was like, this is not for us, bro.
Yeah.
We were trying to look for a fucking bench.
We were like,
is there a fucking, como se llama los. Those places que los apartamentos tienen, like their little
gazebo.
You know, but their little like place where you go and you rent sometimes.
Clubhouse?
Yeah, I'm like, where's the fucking clubhouse?
So then I see that my brother bought different things like outdoor activity games for my nephew. And sure enough, I get there and I say hi. But my nephew's running around playing, which, okay, it's his birthday. He's playing out with his cousins, y la fregada. And when he sees me, he still doesn't acknowledge me. And I was like, I'm over this. But then I see that they have kites. And it's these giant, ginormous kites that are not made out of plastic. They're made out of, like, nylon fabric. And I was like, let's open them. And so we start opening them. Me and my sister-in-law's brother, Kike, which I'm sure he has some sort of trauma too, because him and I, we like have seen each other a couple of times. But we literally bonded over the fucking kites.
And then we don't, hence we don't really like talk like that.
Yeah, we don't talk like that to like, yeah, people. Oh, let's build this. And him and I were literally building this fucking kite together.
Yeah.
And then we were trying to make it fly. And, you know, we were like, oh my God, da da da. So I feel like he has a trauma too. So then he gave up on the kite. I started with another kite, but that kite was just like, it was a one of those Air Force bomber kites, which obviamente no me llama la atención because no.
Air Force bomber.
Exactly. So the one I was trying to fly was like an owl that had all these bright, beautiful colors, like neon colors. And then my dad was like, no, es que tienes que correr. And then he started running with the kite. And I'm like, no, estos no son de correr. Like, you have to catch the wind and blah, blah, blah. And so I started working on the kite, trying to see if I can get it to fly. And finally I did. And I was like, look, you guys, look, look. I was like screaming to Judith. Like,
Luis was having a whole ass moment. I think he might have even cried a little bit. But we were all very like, Well, because also us, we didn't even know what the fuck a kite was. So seeing him do it and then seeing the kite in the air, all of us were just like, oh my God. Where the little kids were literally kind of like, what the fuck? Uh-huh. Like, they were like uninterested in us, and all the adults were just so fucking amazed at the kite.
So I think that the reason why all of the adults were so interested in the kite and the fact that I had it out up in the sky is because I feel like the kites are the least expensive toys or item to entertain a kid, both in Latin America and here in the United States. They're literally 99 cents, can be 99 cents. And it's what entertains kids for a while. Obviamente, when you
not go, at this party though.
Yeah, no, because these kids are another generation, yeah. Right? These kids have different kinds of toys. But like, I'm sure that many kids that are coming from other countries whose parents don't have, you know, enough money to buy them a $30-$50 kite, they're probably flying paper kites, right? So I finally got it up there and I told my dad, ¿Ten lo quieres volar? And I handed over the kite to my dad, and Hudi was able to capture that, and it's in my TikTok. But it just felt great because my dad used to take us to that park when we were little kids, and I remember seeing other little kids fly those bigger colorful kites, and I always wanted to do that, and I never had the opportunity. But so anyways, after that we were like, Hudi and I were like, let's bounce. And we bounced. We literally left. We were like, peace, we're leaving, bye, thank you so much for the food, nos vemos. And we left.
And that was it. And I'm just like, bro, I was so fucking exhausted. We were there for like maybe 2 hours. And I was like, I don't even, like, this was too much. This was a lot.
Like, it was. It really, really was.
But I hope that one day we create, like, when I have kids, you have kids, we teach them, like, hay que ir al parque, let's do these things, you know? Even though we fucking are not used to that, but one of the things that I not resented the most, but I had like a weird fucking notion of like, why the fuck are we here by ourselves? Like, why are my friends going to fucking primos? Why do they have a quinceañera every weekend and I don't, you know, type of thing? Right. Like, we could not understand that. But now I'm like, oh my God, like, I would love my kids to be able to share that with their primos, because I didn't get that opportunity. We didn't have that opportunity. And in a little, like, it kind of sucked a little bit, you know? It was kind of like a bittersweet moment going to the park, because we were like, like, we don't like the park. But also, like, oh, it was nice to see that Richie has little cousins and that he can actually share that do with. That. Yeah.
And that are around his age, because... Mm-hmm. Like, when you have a child, obviously that child is not going to be close to Richie.
No.
Because there's now this huge gap, right? So I think that when you have a child and your child is probably 4 or 5 years old, if I haven't had a child by then, I think that that's when I would consider to adopt. And I would want to adopt a child that is similar to your child's age at that point. That way, my child doesn't grow up alone, and your child has somebody to play with as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But
that's it's a crazy thing to even think about, because you don't really think about these things if you have a huge family. But for example, us that we're kind of like fucking solos. We are obviously like, this is something that me and Luis, you know, would love to have. And hopefully my other sibling can have a kid when, you know, around the time that I have a kid. But yeah, it's going to suck if my kid doesn't grow up with anyone, because like, I don't have tías or primos where I can be like, hey, prima, let me take my kid over. Like, we don't have that. So,
yeah. So anyways, esta es una triste historia. Esto es mejor que La Rosa de Guadalupe up in here. So,
no, and I'm sure we're not. Sorry to interrupt you. But no, I'm sure we're not the only people. I think that, like, again, it's cool to fucking put, like, do things that you always wanted as a kid, even though for some people it may not seem like a lot. But I think it's fucking beautiful, and it's such a great sense of, like, feeling of, like, identity to know that little you is fucking fulfilled, you know, in some sort of way. And that when you're little, you don't realize or see things or try to understand things. But that now as an adult, you're like, fuck, like, if my 8-year-old self or my younger self would see that I'm doing great right now, I wouldn't fucking have been so like, oh, why don't we have primos, or oh, I fucking hate this, or you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't know, it's just a beautiful feeling to just feel like we're doing great things.
Well, we're trying. We're trying. So, anyways, how have I been, Hoodie? Oh, okay.
All right, this episode's over. Goodbye.
Well, I do have a couple of things to share, and I know we have very, very little time, but I wanted you to express how you felt and everything.
Wow, this is the first time Luis lets me express myself.
Well, because you finally have something to bring to the table.
No, fuck you, bitch. I always do. I just feel like, honestly, going back to another fucking trauma of mine, I always feel like out of the three of us, Luis and Ricardo always have like the fucking entrepreneur, we're doing shit, you know? And I'm not saying that I'm not doing shit, because obviously I am. I'm fucking, you know, making my own dreams.
Yeah, but I don't
true.
Understand why you are always comparing yourself to us.
I'm not comparing. I'm just
but
saying.
But you do. Nobody no, else I, does. I'm nobody not nobody compares you.
You know, when, because I'm not comparing. To us. I'm just saying, sometimes there is that like little bit of like, ¿cómo se dice?
Envidia?
Not envidia, because
jealousy?
I would, no, I would it's never. The same thing, no? I would never. And this is like from my bottom of my heart, the very, very fucking bottom. No, I would never feel like, oh, why are my brothers doing better than me? Of course not. Like, we're all a team here, and I tell Luis all this all the time. Like, bro, I fucking love you guys no matter how, like, wherever we're at. Like, it's just we have the same, like, we respect each other. And I tell Luis, like, I know that somos tres, but if there is ever a day that any of us goes missing or whatever the fuck, like, I know for sure I would be fucking devastated, because I am no one without Ricardo or Luis. Like, they kind of, like, put me together. So, anyways, so, no, it's not envidia or any of that. It's just sometimes it does sometimes feel like, since my parents, you have so many, like, businesses and Ricardo, that my parents might expect that of me. Which, by the other way, my dad was like, ¿por qué no empiezas un negocio? And I was like, oh, fuck. I'm like, all right, Dad, let me fucking bust out my OnlyFans. No. but yeah, I don't know why he said that, but I thought in my head, like, no, I don't want, I would love, yes, to have my own negocio. And me and Luis are working on something, hopefully soon, but I'm more of like, I want to advocate. I want to fucking be in the community. And this is one of the craziest fucking things, because my mom is the person that I'm slowly becoming. And when I was younger, I always said, I don't want to freaking do that. I don't want to do none of that. But I'm slowly realizing that, holy fuck, I'm becoming my mom. And it's kind of beautiful, because I think, wow, like, ella me dio esa oportunidad, and she showed me, like, kind of the ropes of how to become this, like, advocate for the community and whatever, right? And it's fucking beautiful, but it's like, holy fuck, I fucking never wanted to do this, but here I am.
Pues que la boca castiga, Judith.
But no, I really do love what I'm doing right now, and I really, really want to go back to get my master's and hopefully do that soon.
I think you need to get a doctorate.
Because
you're really good at school. You're really, really good at school. And I think that there's some people that are good at school, some people that try and succeed, but you don't even try. You're just good. Like, you're just good. You're good at school. So I think you should fucking do it. You should get a doctorate.
We'll see, but...
A doctorate? ¿Así se dice? ¿Or a PhD?
It's a PhD.
Oh. ¿Y por qué no me corriges, babosa?
But it's just to throw it out there that literally the sky is the limit, and...
Yes, the sky is the limit, and you know why?
Because we're going to... Oh, another thing, and other news. Oh, yeah, Luis, how are you doing? What are you planning for us soon coming up? What are we doing?
I am so excited because, okay, so I don't know who of you that listen know, but Pam from Café con Pan podcast and I have a little business venture. Not little. Let's get rid of that word.
It's huge.
Have an amazing business venture that we started prior to the pandemic, but we couldn't do it because of the pandemic, and we just started last year again. And so we have Mágico Tours, which is a queer company that takes queer POCs from the US to Mexico, to CDMX specifically, and we create so many great things. So the first thing is, we created the first ever brunch in Xochimilco with a drag queen, and last year was our debut, and it was amazing. So I found this drag queen on Instagram, se llama Matraca. And when I saw her, I was like, this drag queen is going to go far. This drag queen is amazing. And what I love about her is that she uses her cultura in her drag. And I absolutely love that. Like, she's super folclórica. And when I say folclórica, I don't mean like folclore de folk, del bailes folclóricos. I mean more like, she's very kitsch. She's very folk in el sentido de que usa los colores, la indumentaria, los juguetes. Like, it's beautiful to see. So I hired her last year and she was like, yes, let's do it. And she was amazing because she just, like, she looked amazing on that trajinera. And this year, she actually made it into RuPaul's Drag Race Mexico first season. And she's going to be on that show. And I am just so excited. Y aparte, you all get a primicia. She's going to come back to Mexico Tours. She's going to be a part of Mexico Tours. So we're going to be there in Xochimilco el 25. And she was recognized when we went last year. So this year, like, everyone.
We're sinking the fucking boats.
Everyone is going to recognize her. And that is going to be so amazing. And I'm so happy for her. She's great. But I'm even happier for the desmadre que vamos a hacer nosotros. Una y dos. Last year, we got a sprinter van for 15 people. And this year, we got
a tour bus.
Yes, literal. It fits 35 people, I think, or 40, something like that. But it's a giant-ass tour bus. So we are so excited about that. And we still have tickets at $100 because they're going to go up to $175 once June hits. So if you want to go a La Marcha del Orgullo, which happens on the 24th, I definitely recommend to go to Mexico Tours on Instagram, mexicotours.com, and purchase your tickets because it's going to be great. We provide cervezas, quesadillas, entertainment, and of course, matraca. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah, you all should definitely join us. I'm super fucking excited and I can't wait. And if you all join us, it's going to be a party.
Yes, it is. And then the other thing too is I want to talk a little bit about what we started talking at the beginning of this podcast, which was either doing a vision board or putting it out in the universe. And I always feel like I've been putting things out in the universe. And sometimes I feel like things aren't coming at the right time. Not at the right time. Things always come at the right time, which is what has kept me grounded and kind of kept on going. But honestly, for the past 3 years, it's been rough for me. Like, things haven't happened the way I've wanted them to happen. And un día me paré y dije, I'm going to put this out in the universe. And one of the things that I said I wanted to do was to be able to place Globitos into a retail store. And we started with hitting up Northgate and we tagged them on TikTok and social media and they responded and they were like, we're interested, but they haven't said anything yet. And we were like, you know what? Let's keep on chugging. And then the next store we hit up was the 99 cent store. And we are now at like literally final stages of being able to have them carry our product or test our product in a couple of their stores. And we're super, super excited about that. We're just waiting for a couple of pieces. And when I say pieces, it's more of like the legality side of it. I've never done anything like that. And there's so much paperwork. There's so much legal mumbo jumbo that I'm like, holy shit. But hopefully before the end of the year, Globitos will be in a major retail, not hopefully, again.
It's going to happen. It's going to
happen.
By
the end of the year, Globitos will be
one of these
retail partners, whether it be the 99 cent store, whether it be Party City or whatever. We're going to continue to hit up all of these places so that they pay attention to us. And that brings me so much excitement because that project literally has been successful because Donna has kept on with it while I've been working on all these other projects. And now that I have the time and dedicating effort, like, it's moving forward so much quicker now because there is somebody dedicating some time to it. So anyways, I wanted to share that because I want to make sure that you all know that it's important to hashtag no seamos envidiosos. And even though we want to create things on our own, I am a huge believer that, yes, you can do it on your own. It might take you longer, but you could definitely do it on your own. However, with working with somebody, in this case me, working with a really good friend of mine, Donna, like, she has strengths and I have strengths. And you know what she said the other day that I was like, fuck yeah. At some point, I was like, Donna, just buy me out. Buy me out, girl. Pay me $50,000 and take the whole thing. And she was like, no, I don't have the money. And you know what she said the other day? She was like, hey, how about I buy you out now? And then I was like, yeah, but it's not going to cost you $50,000. It's going to cost you more, because now I do see like that.
Now we're making progress.
No, we're making a ton of progress. But this is what she said, and this is why I love her so much. She said, you know, I could have bought you out, but in order for this business to succeed, I need you as much as you need me. And I bring things to the table that you can't, because you're so fucking desesperado.
Is that a song from Barney and Friends?
Damn, that is the best thing you've ever said on this podcast.
People you love, I love you, you love me, we're a happy family with a great big hug.
Wait, let me finish. Oh, okay. So then she said, you're so desesperado that I have to pull you down sometimes, because sometimes you're like, te sales del huacal, but also your desesperación, your impatience is what has gotten us noticed at these retail stores. And I would have never done that, because I would have been like, we're not there yet. Yet you know, and you believe in the fact that we are there, and so you're making shit happen. And I absolutely love that about her.
And I totally agree with Donna, and I think this is something that you've always said so yourself, but I don't know how much of it you actually take into consideration. But I think one of the biggest things that I do admire Luis about is that he's very, it doesn't matter what it is or how he's gonna accomplish it, he's gonna do it. And that's going back to his fucking impatientness. Like, if that's even a fucking word, but anyways, he's so impatient that it...
Impatient. Where's your maestra canuta?
Where it allows him to fucking push further, right? To like go that extra fucking mile to do something. And that's something that is very like that everybody knows about Luis, that even though Luis has so many great ideas, he is so, como se dice, no se aguanta like to cumplirlo hasta que lo cumple, right? So I think that's one of the things that you should, and you always say that you should believe and creer que eres merecedor, because, bro, you like literally go above and beyond to get yourself out there, to get shit done. And for example, me, I have ideas, but I'm very like, what if this happens? What if whatever? And I think my other sibling, Ricardo, is the same way as well, where Luis is always like, I don't give a fuck, I'm doing it. And so that's something that you should give yourself credit for, because obviously if it weren't for you being like, what the fuck, I can't wait any longer, I'm going to go do this, then yeah, Donna's right. Maybe Globitos wouldn't have gotten that opportunity, or, you know, etc.
So I do want to share this, because it's not just about chinga su madre, let's do it. It's not just about that. I think that you knew me for when I was working at corporate America and making over six figures. And to go from that kind of salary to no figures, just losing my figure, it is very difficult. It is very difficult. But that is the sacrifice and the choice that I make. I don't have kids. I don't have a mortgage payment. And yes, I'm a 40-year-old man.
Virgin.
Living at home. But that is what allows me to make those sacrifices. That is what allows me to make and take those leaps. It's not just about taking a leap of faith. It's not just about that. It's about organizing and thinking, how am I going to do that leap of faith? I don't think I would be doing as much as I'm doing and trying different things if I had children, because now I have to take care of them, right? But that is a sacrifice. And the sacrifice that I'm making right now by not having, you know, expensive whatever, not going on as many trips as I want, not dining out at nice fancy restaurants, all of that sacrifice, I'm able to do that because I know that one of these projects is going to be amazing, and it is going to be what takes me to live in Mexico, in ganar en dólares. So yeah, that's why I'm sacrificing. And it's not easy, as you just said, like, that's what you admire about me, but really,
it's... He's scared deep down.
I mean, yeah,
but of he course. Never shows it. I think that's one of the biggest things. Like, Luis nunca enseña que está como espantado or worried or stressed. I mean, sometimes, yeah, en la cara se le nota el pinche genio que trae, pero whatever. But it's not like... He's just very carefree. I don't even know if that's the word, because I don't know if that's how you feel. But honestly, like... I admire that from you, because sometimes I myself have to be like, not exactly chinga su madre, but like, let's just fucking do it, you know? Let's fucking do it, because you never know. If you don't do it, then how the fuck are you ever gonna know or expand or learn or grow? So I think that's something that I take from Luis all the time, is that I'm very like espanta, not very, but sometimes I get very like what if-y and I doubtful, and I think Luis pushes me to be that, like, you know what, girl, like, what's the fucking worst that can happen, right?
Es que la verdad siento que the worst feeling a human can have is a regret feeling. The what if feeling is the worst feeling any possible human can have, because you will never know what the outcome would have been. I would much rather fail at something and say, wey, lo hice, and I don't know that I want to do it again. I don't know that I want to go through that again. But at least I did it, like the bar, like the gay bar in Boyle Heights. That has always been a dream of mine. It was a lot of work. It fucked up my back. It was a lot. But I did it. And now I know that when I have millions of dollars, I am going to open that back up, because unfortunately, you do need a lot of money. I was able to test the waters because it was the pandemic, and we were able to get in there with little, very, very little money. But now if I wanted to do that again, I know that it wasn't going to just cost $100,000. So when I have that money, that place is coming back.
Stay tuned for that, because maybe 2024, 2025, shit may pop off in a year.
Popeyes. Chicken.
But I guess, yeah, this was an episode of inner child healing and just being able to heal things that you know, your inner child slowly. It doesn't matter, you know, cuando lo hagas or how fast of you, or, you know, it's not like we're telling you, like, go fucking buy your dream car right now. I mean, yeah, go fucking do it. But, like, it's not another thing is it's not, es cuando, like, it's in its own timing, right? And I think that's what makes it even more special, to know that, like, you know, things are gonna get done and you're gonna be fucking, like, you're doing it. We're doing amazing as ¿cómo se llama? Third gens?
Well, no, I'm not. You're first generation. So anyways, muchísimas gracias. Thank you so much for listening. And if there's anything to take from this particular episode, is put it out.
Start a vision board.
In the universe. Put it out in the universe. Yeah. Not just put out. Bueno, también. If it brings you pleasure, put out.
There's 6 more months in the year, which is fucking crazy to think, but you can still create a vision board for the next 6 months of this year. And I think we should consider that, like, thing every year, to make a vision board, because it's fucking, it's just, it's cool. And it's the feeling of crossing things out that you're just like, like,
yeah,
it's very special. But.
So, quedan 6 meses. You're absolutely right. Get it together. And if you don't have it together, that is fine too. Así que, muchas gracias. And we will see you next week.
And hopefully some of you go to Mexico tours. And join us. Because that would be, it's going to be fucking fun. And you all don't want to have FOMO. Because we're going to be having a lot of fun.
Si tienen la oportunidad y el privilegio como nosotros de poder salir, definitely consider joining us.
Yeah.
All right. Muchísimas gracias. Bye.
Bye.